Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges, and today's Wednesday, the day in our weekly rhythm where we, as a community together, even when we're not together in person, are studying the same thing, trying to figure out what the same passage from the Bible means. This week, we're beginning our new series called Jesus, the Most Interesting Man in the World. We're looking at 14 different dimensions of who Jesus is, building towards the most important one of all. This is our first week, and so it's all about how Jesus is a shepherd. He says he's like a shepherd. And there's a particular story where he tells a story about a shepherd with 100 sheep who loses one, goes off searching for it, leaving the other 99, and when he finally finds that lost sheep, throws it on his shoulder, runs back, and actually throws a party to celebrate the return of that all-important sheep. It's a short little story, but it's actually a really important one, especially when we pay attention to who was in the audience as Jesus first told the story. Who was listening? That's the context I asked you to look for yesterday when I asked you to try to figure out the clue to understanding this passage, and it's who's listening. We see that Jesus is telling this story to a divided audience. There are two very different kinds of people listening. On the one hand, there are the tax collectors and sinners. And on the other hand, there are the Pharisees and scribes, the religious authorities of Jesus' day. These two groups hear the story very differently, and Jesus is speaking to both of them, but they're learning different things. You see, every time he spends time with the tax collectors and sinners and people like them, the scribes and Pharisees get really upset, especially when the time that Jesus spends with such people isn't just spent condemning them, telling them they should be more like them and all that, but when he actually seems to care about them, wants to help them and heal them and be generous to them and become friends with them. They don't even notice that these people's lives are transforming before their eyes. Not to necessarily look like the scribes and Pharisees and their particular religious observances, but rather that they're becoming more and more like Jesus. They don't stay the same way they were, but they're being transformed by their experience with Jesus. That's what the Pharisees and scribes seem to miss, because they keep getting all upset that Jesus spends time with such people, as we read right in this passage, right? They ask, how can he be doing this? How does this make sense for a prominent religious teacher to be spending time with the irreligious? Well, who are these tax collectors and sinners? Well, tax collectors is easy because it's very specific. These are people who collected taxes, or almost like a toll, on behalf of oppressive overlords, the Roman government, or perhaps King Herod, the local ruler over Israel. These people collected money from people, which nobody ever likes, but beyond that, they would often pay themselves by skimming some off the top, so they'd collect a little bit more than they needed to. That also didn't make them very likable. And finally, they were in regular contact with Gentiles or non-Jews, and so for an observant Jew, like the scribes and Pharisees, these tax collectors were unclean because they spent time with unclean people. Well, sinners is a more general category, of course. Tax collectors are probably part of that group. These were either people who simply didn't know the law of Israel. Maybe they were too poor, too uneducated, or maybe they knew it and just didn't care. Either way, they were people who were clearly in contravention of God's laws. And for the scribes and Pharisees, that meant you should stay away from them. Shouldn't talk to them, shouldn't teach them, shouldn't heal them, shouldn't have anything to do with them, lest they taint you. They're worried that Jesus won't be able to do his job. He can't be a religious teacher if he's unclean. Can't do what we do, teach people to be clean if he's unclean. But that's not what Jesus is about. Jesus isn't just partying it up with people for the sake of partying. He's doing it because these are people who are drawing closer to God through him. There are people who have said yes to his invitation to start practicing his kingdom. It's because of the transformation he has a reason to party. Something exciting that Jesus reveals in this passage is that heaven is like a party. Now, I don't just mean some place you go when you die. Heaven is basically God's dimension of reality. It's where God reigns supreme. It's actually what we were supposed to experience when God created us, but when we rebelled against God and brought what we call sin into the world, that separation between us and God, we gave up that kind of close personal relationship with God that we were created for and that anybody in heaven experiences with God. But we're not in heaven, we're on earth, we're not experiencing that kind of close personal relationship with God we were made for. There's something broken about it. But Jesus says here, heaven is like a party. And the party is always at its most raucous, its most exciting, its loudest, when a sinner changes their ways. So just another way of saying repent. When a sinner changes their ways and begins following Jesus towards God the Father. That's when he says heaven celebrates most. And so when Jesus sees that happening, when he sits down and meets somebody who is a sinner, who is a tax collector, who is in any way disconnected from God, and he sees them turning around and beginning to follow him towards a close relationship with God, that's when heaven parties. And so Jesus says that's when we should party. Jesus is all about the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's come to proclaim on earth and bring about. Because he is God, because he is perfect and sinless, he actually does know what that experience of heaven is like. And so he mirrors that on earth. Everywhere he goes is like a taste of heaven on earth. And now he's inviting his followers, people like us, to start practicing heaven too. Start partying it up whenever you see a sinner start to turn around in life and move towards God. He's suggesting that we should do that too. And of course, it's not what the Pharisees and scribes are doing. When they see a sinner, all they can do is scold and judge. There's nothing about them that is inviting, encouraging, that brings people into a closer relationship with God. All the Pharisees and scribes have been doing is letting people know how far they are from God. What Jesus does is he brings God close to them. When they are not able to get to God, simply too broken, too sinful, too rebellious, God comes to them. The scribes and Pharisees can't see it because they're too busy trying to get themselves to God and telling other people why they won't be able to. They're too busy doing that to notice that God has come to them. If they'd notice that all around Jesus people were repenting in unexpected ways that they might not have expected themselves, might be different from their ways, if they'd noticed that, they might have joined the party too, but instead they didn't. And Jesus has to call them out on that directly. He has to say, don't you think heaven gets more excited about seeing one sinner repent and turn their life around than seeing 99 righteous people? And he's kind of pointing the finger at them in that moment. Because really they're sinners too. They just don't think they are. They are self-righteous. And he wants to say, you know what? There's a party and a celebration happening here because people are turning their lives around because they know they are in trouble and they know they can't fix it themselves. They know they need me to get them to God. And you, scribes and Pharisees, don't see that. You think you're perfect just the way you are and you don't need me and you don't need God. While they mutter and complain about that, Jesus is practicing his party skills, hanging out with all the wrong people because they're becoming the right people. Because they've just decided he can be their shepherd. He can protect them. He can guide them. He can look after them. He can lead them. He will be the center of their life now. Well, tomorrow we'll see a bit more of this story's application to our lives, but for now, I've got a question for you to think about and discuss with some people you know, hopefully in a small group that meets regularly to discuss our daily challenges and grow as followers of Jesus, even though we have these hectic, busy lives. Here's your question. How do you think being with Jesus was like a party? What made his parties different from the kinds of parties tax collectors and sinners had been to before? Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.